Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio with me, your host and crisis dramatist. I am Phyllis Helene, and today is Friday, May 16th, and I'm coming to you from the DMV area, May 16th, Friday, 2014. Let's take some time to raise our consciousness. And the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence? And our guest on today's show is Coach Jim Johnson, author of A Coach and a Miracle, Life Lessons from a Man Who Believed in an Autistic Boy. Coach Jim is a graduate of the State University of New York at Cortland and SUNY at Brockport. He belongs to several coaching and professional speaking organizations and has developed a motivational DVD, and he gives workshops on leadership and personal development. His presentations incorporate the many miracle aspects that were part of his unforgettable 2005-2006 season. In his books, he talks about defining your passion, defining your mission, setting goals, perseverance, being a team player, staying true to yourself, sharing your success, and believing in miracles. And we will bring in Coach Jim Johnson shortly. Once again, I am Phyllis Helene, your crisis dramatist. And the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence? Now, I decided to contribute to the empowerment of helping young adults to stand on excellence by creating family dramas. As a crisis dramatist, I write about the issues that plague our culture. I see the results that stem from various crises that harm the growth of humanity and society, and I create storylines that implement the crises. I put characters into difficult situations and circumstances that center around a particular crisis, and then I make the character struggle to find a solution. And I present hard lessons for the characters to learn from. I created the plays as a catalyst to help young adults value human life, to help young adults operate on a higher level of being, to help young adults make the decision to stand on excellence. Now, I believe playwriting is an art form that can create a moral change. And sometimes a visual, such as a dramatic play, that can have an impact on life decisions and choices. Plays help people think. I believe that art changes things. So I wrote the Raising Consciousness Stage Play Collections because I see that there's a crisis attacking our young adults today. And that crisis is that many youth are emotionally comatose or living in an unconscious state of being. And the problem that I see is the lack of understanding the power of choice. And when you don't understand choice, then that's when you do anything. So the benefit of the play series is to help position young adults into the understanding of the power of choice. Because the reality is you can do something that takes you 15 minutes to get into, and that same something can take you 15 years to get out of, and in some cases a lifetime. And there are young adults in prison today because the verdict is 10, 15 years, all because of something that took 15 minutes. Now, the first play to come out of the Raising Consciousness Stage Play Collection is titled Don't Lose Your Head. And it's a story about a family who struggles to deal with the emotional residue left behind after a tragic accident caused by a negative choice, lies, alcohol, and teen drinking and driving. So once again, we're going to bring in our guest, Coach Jim Johnson, to talk to us about standing on excellence, tell us a little bit about his book, A Coach and a Miracle. Coach Jim? Coach Jim?
Hi, Phyllis. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi.
How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Feel great. Did you hear me okay?
I did. Yep.
Okay. Good, good. Nice meeting you. How are you doing?
Everything's good. How about you?
I'm fine. Fine. Thank you. Now, talk to us a little bit about A Coach and a Miracle. Now, I saw the tape with J-Mac. I have to say, several times, and you know, it's very it's tearful. It is a tearjerker, but I enjoy it. So tell us a little bit about your book, A Culture in the Miracle. And then, you know, as I said, I wrote a play based on teen drinking and driving, and I deal with certain issues. So I want you to talk about helping young adults stand on excellence, and especially from a coaching point of view, and, you know, executing leadership skills. You can talk about that as well. So tell us a little bit about A Culture in the Miracle and about JMAC.
Sure. Well, well, to start a little bit with JMAC, Jason McElwain was my team manager back in, he actually came to our basketball program in 2003 and 4, and then he was my team manager in 2004 and 2005 and 6. So I've, and now Jason's back as one of my assistant coaches. So we've been together for about 10 years now, and Jason had a big dream. He is autistic and learning disabled, but he really wanted to be able to play in a varsity basketball game. And as I mentioned, he was our team manager for 3 years. So in his senior season, when he came out for the team and didn't make it, I offered him an opportunity for our senior night, which is our final home game, a chance to get in uniform and hopefully get him in the game. And with just over 4 minutes to go in the game, I put him in, and he missed his first shot by about 6 feet. It wasn't even close. And I know you're not supposed to pray in the public schools, but I was praying pretty hard. And I was like, please, God, can we just help him get a basket? And then he missed his second shot, but it was a lot closer, so I realized that God must be listening because he was getting closer. And then his third shot, he was actually another three-pointer, and he made it. And the place just imploded, and I thought, oh, my God. It can't get any better than this. Not only has Jason scored a basket, he's got a three-pointer. That's a memory he'll cherish forever. Well, it did get better, and extraordinarily better. In fact, when the dust settled, he had scored 20 points in less than 4 minutes, including 6 three-pointers, and ended up being our high scorer for the game. So it was certainly the best night I've ever had in coaching. It was to see how the kids on our team supported them and how our whole community that night at the game. It was just an awesome experience. So going into your question about the book, is after that game and our season concluded, I was starting to be asked to come in and speak about the story. And so I do a lot of my own personal development, and I started to realize, well, Jason's dream came true. What I should really do is try to help others make their dreams come true like Jason did. So I decided in my keynote that I talk about 6 keys to making your dreams come true, or what I call my 6 keys to success. And then when I put that together, people started asking me, are you going to write a book about it? And I said, I've thought about it. And I actually ended up going back to an old high school classmate that was a newspaper writer. And ironically, he had 2 sons on the autism spectrum. And we decided to collaborate and write this book, A Coach and a Miracle. And what we did is we certainly shared the story of the background and what happened that season. In fact, we had some real trials and tribulations to the point where I actually almost resigned because we had so much difficulty. And then, of course, changing that in the with Jason's big night. And then our team ended up winning our first sectional championship as under my watch as the coach. So we kind of broke a barrier down in that case. So I talk about these 6 keys in the book in each chapter, and then we add a few more things as well. So we're real proud of the book. We've gotten great reviews. And would you like me to share the 6 keys?
Yes, yes. These are the 6 keys of leadership or –
Now, actually, these are my 6 keys in helping you make your dreams come true. And then I do have 6 keys that I talk about in my leadership workshop as well. I'd be glad to share if you'd like me to do that as well.
Yes, I would. I would. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So we'll start with our 6 keys of making your dreams come true. I talk about passion. And one of the things that I really try to share with audiences all over the country, and certainly to young people because I'm still a teacher, is that you've got to find what you love to do. And then I think once you understand that, I think the big thing is how can you make it a big part of your life so you can actually make a living at it. You know, and I share with you, in fact, I was just talking to middle school students a couple weeks ago in a career day and talking about, you know, when you find your passion, like, and I share with them, you know, my passion when I was in high school was basketball, and I wanted to play in the National Basketball Association, but when I got to college and got cut from my college team, I realized, well, I probably, if I can't play college, I'm not going to make the NBA. What I share with them was the fact that when you find your passion, you know, I was like, okay, how can I still make basketball a big part of my life? Well, I liked working with young people, and I said, well, I could be a teacher and a coach, and I've been one for 33 years, and I've had a great career, and I've enjoyed it immensely, and so and it's given me an opportunity to stay in the great game of basketball that I love so much. So I think that's where it all starts, is finding your passion, and your passion can change. I know that I never really thought I'd be a public speaker, and now that's become a great passion of mine. I love trying to go in and inspire others and help others, and that's become one of my bigger passions in life now, and that, you know, I've picked that up later in life. And then my second key I talk about is understanding your personal mission. And I share, you know, as I read a lot of books, you know, I read Dr. Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, many years ago, and in the book, Dr. Covey talks about that he thinks it's really important that people find their own personal mission. I know, you know, most organizations and businesses and schools have mission statements, but he really believed that you should have your own personal mission statement. It really got me to think, what was my purpose in life? You know, why was I put on this earth? I think those are great questions to ask yourself. And I'm very clear now. And at that point in my life when I read the book, I was not clear. And now, you know, I share publicly that my mission is to be an outstanding role model, makes a positive difference in the world by helping others make their dreams come true. And what I really try to share with young people is that when you understand your purpose, it really gives you a great guiding light in making better choices. Because if you know what you're all about, you're not going to make choices that are going to negatively hinder what you're trying to accomplish. Which leads me to my third key, which is how to be an effective goal setter. And we've all heard about goals, but what I found through my research and talking to people all over the country is most people don't know how to set goals or don't set goals because it is work. So one of the things I talk to people about is when you think it, ink it. You know, you got to write it down. And, you know, I think that's really important that you, you know, you understand what your target is, what you're trying to accomplish, and your goals are going to change as you go through. And a couple tips I share with audiences and goal setting is I think you should write your goals down every single day. I think one of the disciplines I've got in my life I've been doing for the last few years is when I get up in the morning, one of the first things I do is I write down 15 goals that I'm trying to accomplish. Most of them in the next year, but a few of them are long-term.
Right.
And then the other thing I do is I put them on index cards and I read them in front of a mirror 3 times a day. You know, when I get up in the morning, when I get home from work, and then just before I go to bed. So again, it's reinforcing what's most important in my life, and I think that's really important. Going back to your mission and having a purpose and a direction, and then you know really zeroing in on the targets you want to accomplish through writing your goals down. Then my fourth is I don't know of anyone that doesn't have this key, and that's been successful, and that's perseverance, the ability to overcome obstacles and go through them, under them, above them, whatever it takes. But, you know, you read all kinds of stories of people that have had all kinds of tragedy and difficulty in their life, and yet they've overcome it and become very successful people. So perseverance, I call it the never quit attitude, you know, that you're going to keep going no matter what is really important.
Right.
And then my fifth one I call carpe diem, which of course means seize the day. And I break that down into two elements, two things that I talk to young people all the time. To be successful, I believe you got to be great in the things you can control. And the two I talk about in carpe diem is attitude. I'm a big guy. You know, attitude is one of the things you can control, and it's such a powerful thing to help you or hurt you in your life. And certainly a negative attitude will hurt you, and a positive attitude more times than not will help you. So, you know, it's not the only thing in life. You know, I think sometimes people say, you know, attitude's everything, and I'm not sure. I mean, attitude's very important, but, you know, you certainly got to take action on things, which leads me to the other thing is that, you know, having a positive attitude and then the ability to have a great work ethic, you know, that nothing gets done without work, and, you know, the hard workers are going to lead to success. And then my last one, to put it all together, is to be a team player. I think people that are successful learn to work with others and help others and serve others and try to make the world a better place. And so I think, you know, the people that are most successful are the people that are creating value and helping as many people as they can.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like that. And I believe that a positive attitude is the beginning of success. I like in your books, you know, in the area when you talk about believe in miracles, you quoted some of your favorite sayings from certain
yes.
people. And one of the things I love is from Norman Vincent Peale, and mm-hmm. that quote is, "The secret of life isn't what happens to you, but what you do with what happens to you." So I like that one. And then also, nothing great has ever been accomplished without enthusiasm.
Yeah, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Yes, and William James, "The greatest
yeah.
discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind." And I agree with that, because when you talk about the successes that one must have, it all starts with understanding yourself. And then that takes me into making the right.
Hello?
Okay, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I lost you there for a moment.
I'm sorry. I said what you were saying, all ties in together with standing on excellence, making sure that you have a positive attitude, because a positive attitude, I believe, will help you into making better choices.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Now, I know you talked a little bit about, you talked about goal setting, and What's some of the advice that you give usually to your, you can give to teenagers as well, but that you give to your students, your team, when you're
mm-hmm.
when you're setting goals, when you're getting ready to go out and fight that next game? Because I believe it all encompasses, you know, everything. So what's some of the things you talk about? Just share with us some of your ideas that you use to be an effective goal setter.
Sure. First thing is I'm real big on writing them as positive affirmations. So I think when you write your goals, I think it starts with, because one of the things I really try to teach young people and people, you know, adults as well, is that it all starts with personal responsibility. So I think you should start all your goals with "I am." I think that's really important. That you're taking the responsibility. You know, you're certainly going to need help from others in accomplishing your goals, but I think goal setting all starts with you taking personal responsibility. Then from there, I think you always should put it in a positive light. And I'll give you an example. Let's say that I wanted to lose 20 pounds. Instead of saying, "I am going to lose 20 pounds, I would put it in, okay, what's the ideal weight I want? And let's just throw out, let's say, you know, I weighed 190 and I wanted to go to 170. I would teach them that, okay, I'm going to write my goal in a positive affirmation by saying, "I am happily weighing 170 pounds by," and then I'm going to put a deadline. I think that's really important, and make it realistic, you know, but at the same time, something that's really going to push you. So, you know, give you an example back to my weight loss. It would be, okay, I am happily weighing 170 pounds by November 1st, 2014. Now, that's very clear. The mind understands it. You know, people could read it and say, okay, this is exactly what Coach Johnson wants to accomplish. And I think it's, you know, it's got to be something that it's very clear and very direct with a deadline. You know, one of the quotes I've seen on goals that I like is, "A goal is a dream with a deadline." You know, and be able to write it out and have a deadline. And
okay.
from there, you know, if you don't accomplish it, you know, one of the things is you may want to change the goal, or a simple thing is, okay, I didn't make it, but I'm going to change my deadline, and I'm going to, you know, extend it. And you know, I think the really important thing with setting effective goals is when you do that, you have to start adding disciplines. And the other thing I share with people in goal setting is I think you should set at least one, if not a couple, really big goals that are going to make you stretch. I call them stretch goals. And, you know, one mm-hmm. could be, okay, let's say, you know, you want to become financially independent. So let's say, you know, you're going to say, I'm happily becoming a millionaire, you know, by December 31st in 2018, let's say, you know, or whatever. But, you know, the mm-hmm. point is when you put a goal that's very lofty, like, you know, making or saving a significant amount of money, or, you know, something that's really going to make you stretch, what I found is you have to add disciplines, you know, and let's look at the financial goal. If, you know, if you want to become financially independent, well, there's things you got to do. One, you've got to learn how to save money. One, you should learn how to earn more money. Another thing you have mm-hmm. to do is you have to understand how to invest the money, and then have a disciplined approach on, you know, how I'm going to consistently invest, you know, a portion of my money so that I can let it grow. And I think those are things that, when you do that, that is one of my favorite people that I read and listen to a lot is a guy named Jim Rohn, and he had a great quote. He said that we will all suffer one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret, but discipline weighs ounces and regret weighs tons. And I think that's
that's
significant. And, you know, by writing those goals down and establishing those disciplines, you know, that's where it all starts. And then, of course, you know, coming up with a plan of action and taking action.
Mm. And, you know, something you also said, Coach Jim, in your book, A Coach in a Miracle, that I found helpful and that I think is very important. In your book, when you was talking about setting goals, you said, when I work on individual goals with the players, the general objective is for them to improve not only as athletes, but also as members of society.
Absolutely.
And that's important. That's
yep.
important. And you know, once again, that takes me back to that team drinking and driving, because if you set your goal to be a productive member of society, then you wouldn't want to make that choice to get behind the car drunk.
Absolutely.
Because you're not drunk before you took that first drink. And to be a member of society is what's important first, and then then become an athlete, a great athlete second. Now, as a coach, Coach Jim, have you ever had to talk to any of your players regarding drinking and driving?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we always talk about is being, you know, chemical free. We have them sign an agreement, and I actually had a student athlete that was on my team probably back, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, that actually was caught with marijuana at school, and we had to suspend him. And it was interesting because at first I was so disappointed, I actually wanted to dismiss him from the team. And mm-hmm. One of the things that it was very powerful from the lesson that it helped me that year was how much the team rallied around that player to say, no, coach, you need to suspend him, but let's keep him so we can use positive peer pressure to help him get back on track. And I found that was tremendously helpful to this young man, that probably really saved him in going down a really bad road, because he had a good peer group that really cared about him and wanted to see him stay away from, you know, drugs and alcohol and that kind of thing. So, you know, I mean, with young people today, it's a big issue. You know, drugs and alcohol mm-hmm. are out there, and they're very prevalent, and, you know, something that you constantly got to be sharing. And the two things that I really try to help is individually talk to them about, you know, their values and what's most important to them, you know, discovering mm-hmm. what their purpose and mission. And then the other thing is, when you're building a team, is the ability to get each other kind of accountability thing, you know, where, hey, we've set some team goals, and one of our team goals, okay, we want to try to win a championship. To do that, we've got to all work together. We've got to do the right things. We've got to represent ourselves. And you know,
mm-hmm.
so make each other personally accountable, I think, is very, very powerful. And, you know, the more you can build a team with positive peer pressure, I think the better it's going to be.
Oh, I agree, because accountability is one of the problems that I see in terms of young adults today not being accountable, and that's where we see all the shootings and the stabbings going on in school. No one's taking the time to think about the consequences, all the accountability. They just do it, and then after it's over, oh boy, I wish I could change, but you can't change because you can't take back the stabbing, you can't take back the shooting. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now you said J-Mac is he works with you today?
He does. He actually has been back in our program for the last 6 years as a assistant coach, and he loves it. I see him all the time, and he's really mm-hmm. still very passionate about basketball. And I'll give you a story, Phyllis, of mm-hmm. his goal. You know, the power of goal setting is that Jason was also a runner in high school, but kind of got away from it after high school.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, I was coming in my office after teaching a class, and J-Mac was sitting there. I said, J-Mac, what's going on? He says, Coach, I've decided to get back into running. I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, and I'm going to run the Rochester Marathon. And I said, holy mackerel, what's your goal for that? And he said, you know what, I'm not sure. He goes, I'll come back and tell you in a day or two. So he comes back a couple days later, and he says, I decided, Coach, I want to be able to qualify for the Boston Marathon. I said, well, what's the qualifying time for your age group? And he says, it's 3 hours and 5 minutes. And I was like, holy mackerel. I mean, that's for, you know, your audience, for those that are not experienced runners, a marathon in 3 hours and 5 minutes for your first one is quite fast. So I was like, you sure, Jason? He said, yeah. He goes, Coach Shoemaker, which is our cross-country coach that he ran uh-huh. for in high school, had devised a training plan for him. And then also they went over some nutritional ideas. And the one thing that's great about Jason is when he gets a goal in his mind, he really is very diligent about putting his plan into action and following it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has great discipline, and it's a great lesson for all of us. Well, I'm happy to tell you that he's run the Rochester Marathon twice, and both times he made the qualifying time. And then he set a new goal, and his new goal was he wanted to run the Boston Marathon under 3 hours. And I'm proud to tell
really?
You that he just finished the Boston Marathon a few weeks ago, and he ran it in 2 hours and 57 minutes and 5 seconds. So it's just a great lesson about what the power of goal setting and, you know, the ability to take action on a plan. He's a great illustration of that.
That's right. That's fantastic. And, you know, having someone like J-Mac on the team, did you find as a coach that raised the other players, it raised their humanity to a different level?
Absolutely. The one thing that I was very, very proud of that team, because we did have a lot of controversy early in Jason's senior year, is how much
mm-hmm.
they came together and how much they cared, and that was really manifested. When you saw how much the kids were into the game when he scored all the points and how they were jumping up and down. And, you know, a little known
mm-hmm.
fact a lot of people aren't aware of is that I had never asked the kids on the court to pass Jason the ball, yet when he got in the game, he was the only one that shot in those last 4 minutes. It just gives you an idea how much the kids appreciated him and loved him. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, what it's all about, you know, is the ability to, you know, look to help others. And, I think the kids really appreciated Jason because he was so into trying to help the team. You know, it wasn't about
mm-hmm.
him. The great little thing that, people ask me about Jason, and I'll say, you know, my favorite things about Jason is people ask him, what was the best thing about your senior season? And he immediately says that we won the Section 5 championship. It wasn't, you know, his game. And that's why I think the kids appreciate it so much, because he cared so deeply about them and helping the team be successful.
Mm, mm. Okay, well, take us back a little bit. Now, doing all of the 2005, 2006 season, I know you worked with Jason and you got to see his character and the type of person he is, and you see he's a special type of person. Now, you knew his abilities as a player was limited, but what made you decide to give him that chance to play in that varsity game?
You know, I think the thing that for me was just the loyalty to him because of what a great commitment he made to our program and how much he cared deeply about the team and how dedicated he was. It was a way that I could give back to him, but he deserved that because he really earned that chance because of what a great kid he was, how he would come every single day to practice. He came to all our games, did anything we asked him to do, and it was a way to give him an opportunity because of all the things that he gave. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us, is that, you know, the more you give, eventually it comes and the more you get. And I think that was a great illustration with what happened to Jason. I just felt it was the right thing to do because he deserved the opportunity because he had helped us so much.
Mm. And you know what? When I was watching the tape of Jason, and you know, as I said, it was a tearjerker. I like the phrase that the announcer states: "What we all want in life is a shot." That's what
right.
We all want in life is a shot, and we have to find a way to take that shot. And I
yep.
was like, "Oh yeah, that's so cool. That's so cool." Now, before we go, I want you just to tell us, what is your definition of success?
My definition of success, it comes in two parts. So one is, I think, that you have to take personal responsibility and continue to grow as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the second part is the ability to try to help others. And I think you put those together. So I think it starts with yourself, that you got to take personal responsibility and continue to grow. And then secondly, the ability now to help grow others and help others and add value to others. I think that's, you know, my definition of success.
Okay. Now, what are some of your future goals, Coach Johnson?
Well, I'm actually going to be retiring from teaching next month. So I'm going to become a full-time speaker, although I'm going to still coach basketball. So I'm really looking forward to the next part of my journey here. I want to become a global speaker. That's one of my goals. I'd like to travel the world and share my message on how to make your dreams come true and how to become a more effective leader. I think those are very significant. I really want to continue to give back, and especially to the autism community. I'm actually
mm-hmm.
I've linked up to a one of our local autism organizations that I really like. The people, they're called Autism Up in Rochester, and I'm going to be working with them. And then I still have some real aspirations in continuing to coach basketball at Greece Athena High School. We have a very good team coming back, and I certainly would like to. We've won our Section 5 championship 5 times in the last 9 years, and I'd like to certainly continue that. And I'd like to see if we could win a state championship. Our school has won one back in the early 90s before I was the coach here, and I'd like to see if we could do it again before I leave. I'd like to continue to grow as a person. And, one of the things with all the things I've committed to is that I want to try to see more of my family. I have a brother and a sister that live out of town. And my only son is actually in his second year, just finished his second year of law school at Pepperdine. So,
oh, okay.
So I've got some places I want to travel to see people as well.
Okay. Now, Coach, I would like you to tell us, what is the 6 keys to effective leadership, to being an effective leader?
Sure. Well, I've developed a leadership workshop, and these are the 6 keys I share with audiences. And the first one is what I call clarifying a vision. I'm really big in the as a leader, you have to see the direction you're trying to take the group, the team, the corporation, the organization, whatever you're leading. And so you got to be very clear about your vision. And, you know, it starts with you, and, you know, you have to continue to grow as a person, and I think that's all part of determining your vision. The second one I call is building trust, and I think effective leaders build trust amongst the people that follow them. And you do that because I think the first thing is the integrity of what you say is what you're going to do. And you got to model the trust all the time. You know, like if you expect, in my case, my team to be on time, I'm going to always be early. So if I expect practice to start at 2:30, I'm always going to be there before 2:30. You know, so you're setting a standard for them and then building the trust because that you're going to come through. You know, if I say that I'm going to be here at a certain time, I'm going to be here. You know, and then I think building that trust is significant in being an effective leader. The third one as an effective leader is I think you have to find ways to create an edge for your team, organization. And, you know, from a basketball standpoint where I've been, you know, the coach here for a long time, is that I'm always trying to find little ways that how we can create an edge. And I'll give you a few examples. Like one is like our team at the beginning of the season, we come in and practice before school, which a lot of schools don't do. So, again, we develop a little discipline. It's almost like a badge of honor, the fact that we're going to be practicing at 6 o'clock in the morning where most students are not up yet. So I think, you know, building that kind of edge. Another thing we do is we bring in a strength coach every year to work with our team. We work on imagery where we talked about the mental part of the game. We do a mental imagery session before every game. So just, you know, things like that where you're trying to create an edge, because I always tell our players, well, everybody that we play is going to, you know, practice pretty much every day and do certain things, but what can we do that's going to separate us from the competition? And that's what I think effective leaders do, is they find ways to create an edge. My fourth key is effective communication. I think all outstanding leaders are great communicators, and they are consistently communicating to the people. And the one thing that I think is really important to understand as a leader is communication is a two-way street. And I think the best leaders are people that are always seeking ideas and input from the people that they're working with. And when you don't do that, when you think you're up on the top of the mountain, if you don't have anybody up there with you, I think you become a troubled leader in a hurry. So I think it's really important as a communicator that you find ways to constantly communicate. You know, one of the things I'm really big on is trying to catch people doing right. You know, praise them when you see them do something right. Praise as immediately as you can. And there's certainly a lot of different ways to communicate. I mean, certainly in person, but you all like, right now I have some of my players that are in other spring sports. Like, you know, if I read the paper, they do well. You know, I'll send them a text or maybe an email. Or, you know, sometimes I'll cut out an article from the newspaper and send it to somebody in a written card. So just finding ways that you can compliment people, and, you know, I think it's really important is communication, and then always going back to the two-way street that you need to get input and you know, help people by listening to them. And then my fifth key is leading by example. I think all effective leaders lead by example, and it does kind of interrelate with the second key, which is building trust. And, you know, if you're asking your people to do certain things, and then you're a very poor example. You know, like, for example, one of the things I do at the beginning of the season is I share how important it is that we stay chemical-free. And one of the things that I've vowed to my teams for many, many years now is I stand in front of all our parents and players and say, you know, I don't have to do this because I'm legal drinking age, but I choose to do this because I think it's so important, is that I'm not going to drink alcohol during the season at all. And I think that's a really powerful statement and a powerful example that how important it is to me to be a good leader is that I got to start by leading by example. So that's one of the things that I vow to my team every year. And then to put it all together is what I call leaving a profit. And I think that comes from philosophy. And I think all leaders have the philosophy that are effective, that I'm going to try to make everything I touch turn to gold and not garbage, or in other words, try to continually to improve it. And one thing I've been proud as a high school basketball coach is I've taken over 3 programs that were pretty bad, and we've been able to turn it around. And I think that's the huge thing is just starting to build a simple philosophy. And, you know, and we talk to our players, you know, in detail, things like when we go visit another school, that we want to make sure when we leave that the locker room is clean. You know, we always make it better than what we saw it. You know, like if we see some garbage on the floor, just pick it up. You know, a lot of this stuff is simple, but it's a philosophical thing. You know, do you have the belief that everything you're going to touch turns to gold, or is everything you're going to touch, you know, get worse? You know, and I think when you have a philosophy that you're trying to make things better, I think that's leads to becoming a great leader.
And, you know, and it all goes to, once again, what you said in your book, I like, real integrity. When you talked about the quote that you that Oprah states, real integrity is doing the right thing, knowing that nobody's going to know whether you did it or not. So, you showing your team to clean up that locker room, or, you know, to put that those things in the right place, no one has to see it. But you know you did the right thing. So it's all about real integrity.
And absolutely.
And I also, you know, when I was reading your book, I like when you said teamwork makes the dream work. So, you know, talk about that, about there's no I in team. So I imagine that you're in front of your guys telling them that on a regular basis.
One of the things we try to do all the time is to have a theme for the year, and also each week one of the things we try to have like a life lesson every week. Like we'll pick out a particular subject. Like one week it could be integrity, another week it could be attitude. And what I'll do each during that week is I'll give them a quote each day that's pertinent to that subject. And then, you know, we'll have some discussions and we'll talk about things that are really important, you know, so teamwork that makes a dream work. You know, we have a week where we talk about, you know, what effective teams do, how do they work together, you know, and I think that's really important. And it's something, you know, when you're building a team, that you got to constantly be sharing how to be successful as a team. You know, that's something that I've learned in communication. You can't ever assume. You know, like our mission for our basketball program is to help our players become winners on and off the court. And, you know, we define that. You know, what is a winner on the court? Well, obviously, it's, you know, being a good sport. It's someone that's being a good teammate. It's, you know, the ability to help your team so that you can win the basketball game. And then winners off the court, you know, are you a good citizen? Are you a person that we can count on? Do you do well academically? You know, are you someone that has some really ambitious to be successful in the most important game, the game of life, you know, and I think that's what you really, I think, have a great opportunity as a leader, in my case, a leader of a basketball program, is that, you know, really trying to teach these young people not just about basketball, but more importantly, how to be successful in life.
That's right, how to be productive citizens in society. I agree. And, In your book, when you talked about team, just so all the young people who are listening and our parental listeners, Coach Jim Johnson states in his book, in the section Define Your Mission, teamwork makes the dream work, and the word team, T-E-A-M, stands for together, everyone accomplishes more. And I think that's just cool. That says it all. You know, and now, Coach Jim, tell us where people can, you know, contact you, or where audiences can go to learn more about you.
Sure. We have a newsletter that we do every month. We also do a weekly blog where I talk about a lot of different things, you know, with my leadership and my, you know, how to be successful. And my website is www.coachjimjohnson.com. That way I wouldn't forget it. And I do have a a manager, her name is Kate Holgate, that helps me immensely with my speaking. And right now, you know, obviously we have the book that we're very proud of, and we also have two workshops and a keynote. And one of the other things I'm going to do when I retire and focus full-time on speaking is I'm going to add a leadership keynote. That's one of my goals here coming up. So you know, I'm really blessed to be able to speak to, you know, many businesses, many schools, many organizations. I've certainly spoke to, you know, groups that work with people with disabilities like autism. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just out there trying to make the world a better place by trying to inspire others and give them real content that can help them in their lives, improve their lives.
Okay, okay. And Coach Jim Johnson, we thank you so much for coming to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, and helping us take time to raise our consciousness. And I want all the parental listeners out there, please go and pick up A Coach and a Miracle, Life Lessons from a Man Who Believed in an Autistic Boy. And when you check out Jim Johnson's website, you'll be able to go to that Faithful Night, that Miracle Night, and you'll see J-Mac. And also, once again, thank you, Coach Jim Johnson. And I do want to leave with one of your favorite quotes from Coach Wooden in your book, Make Each Day Your Masterpiece.
Thank you, Phyllis. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Coach Jim Johnson. And once again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to RCR. And once again, thank you to the fabulous Coach Jim Johnson, author of A Coach and a Miracle. Have a good day, everybody.